picture of the Tachlis. So the Rambam mentions that the Chazal, let's say, if you'll notice the order of the Klola, it's an interesting phenomenon. The order of the Klola is that it says first you'll, first it mentions that you'll be Bona Bias. Then it says that you'll be, no, first it was the Nosa Isha Bona Bias. These three things. So first it says you'll marry a woman you want, somebody else will take her, and you'll build a house you won't be able to live in it, and you'll plant a vineyard and you will not be able to redeem it. You won't be able to harvest. So what is the so the Rambam says there are two klolas here. There's the overt klola and there's the covert klola. The overt klola is obvious. But the covert klola he says is that you do things in the opposite, in a totally illogical fashion. At first you get married, says, and then the second thing is he buys a house, and the third thing he says he goes around looking for panasa towards the end of his life. He says, Rambam says, Bachus Yemlach, he says looking out for panasa. So it says, Kuloma, you my secho hafuchim. Your actions will be reversed. Reversed from the logical order. Now you have to understand that that klola is implicit. It's not explicit, it's implicit. But it does not mean that it's any inferior to the other klola. As a matter of fact, that's the real klola that Rambam says. But why didn't the Torah write it openly? Because the Torah is dibritar kolashim b'nei adam. The Torah is written on every level. That every person can understand. Not everybody will understand that as a klola. It will not have the emotional impact, you see, as the open klola. So the open klola, the Torah has to reach the people that they should to impress upon them the idea that something bad will happen if they don't follow the ways of God. Most people aren't that rational, not on the level. You're going to tell them you do things up, it's not going to mean anything to them. It's not going to have an effect. So that's why the Torah wrote openly the overt klola, the klola of the Ashgacha. That's the Ashgacha, but there's another klola. There's the covert klola. The klola of the individual who doesn't live according to Chachma. That is the worst. That is the worst klola. That's the source. That's the source of all the klolas. And that's why when this mashal over here where it says that the storekeeper exacts payment, it doesn't necessarily mean the storekeeper exacts payment in the sense of the overt klola alone. It does not referring to the fact the Ashgachas Hashem that God punishes a person. It's referring to the covert klala as well. Which is really, the Rambam in the Morning Vuchim says that most of the things that people suffer is from the covert klala. Which means that they're responsible for their own undoing. Because they don't live a natural result of the fact that they deny Chochmah. And they simply follow their own narcissistic emotions. They deny reality. Denying the storekeeper is denial of reality. That's the worst one. It's the worst, the most powerful quote. As a matter of fact, when the Rabbeinu Yonah says that those people don't understand why this happened to me, what does it mean? How is he supposed to figure out why it happened to him? He knows Ashgachas Hashem. A person has Yisurim. Can he figure out why the Yisurim happened? You see, even Chazal weren't able to figure out what Yisurim were from. No, what it means, essentially what it means, is that the Yisurim that stem from the person's own misdeeds. There's a direct line that can be traced back. If a person uses Chochmah and analyzes it, he can trace back and he can see why certain things befell him that was his own doing. And the worst chet is if a person doesn't recognize that. Because the worst, the word Rasha and Sochal is the same. And the Nevi'im always criticize the Jews for one reason, because they said that it's Am Sochal. They're foolish. And they don't use Chachma. The highest level of Pesnetz Chachma removes the clothes. And that's what he means, the storekeeper. Means to recognize what reality is. Recognize the underlying reality. Yadis is only, the whole Yadis is just to teach a person to recognize reality. And actually that's the last part of to take a look at the last part of the memory, it says like this. Vadin din emes, vakol mesukin lesuda. What does it mean, akol mesukin lesuda? Strange kind of form. Everybody's mesukin for the suda. What does it mean, the suda? What's the suda? What is the suda? So Rashi says that it means Vakol Masukim Masuda. It means Nisachachar. The first one from this one. Vafal Pikein Vakol Masukim Masuda Echad Tzadikim Echad Rishayim Neishlam Chel Gomel Abal Kira Gdola. They all have a part to Gomel Abal. That's what Rashi says. The Rambam says Kloma Tachlis Kavonas Kol Zeh Chayi Olam Abal. The whole purpose of all this is Chayi Olam Abal. What does it mean? What he means to say is that the purpose of the system that we live in which there is this whole Schar V'Onesh. What is the Schar V'Onesh? It means, why did God set up a system like this? That there's a storekeeper and there's a reality, and the man is endowed with a narcissistic barrier that he can't penetrate, and he refuses to see that he's made a mistake, and he just keeps on going, and he keeps catering to the crazy emotion. Why is it? What was the purpose of this whole system? Why did God set it up? What's the purpose? So what's the answer? The answer is Vakol Mesukum Mesuda. Kloma Tachlis Kavonas Kol Zechayel Amaba. The whole purpose of Chayel Amaba means to say that man is capable of seeing through, of overpowering his narcissistic barrier. How can he overpower it? He can overpower it through Chachma. And once he reaches the level where he can overpower through Chachma, and he sees Chachma Hashem, what is the end result? The end result is Chayel Amaba. It means that he's reached a level where his soul partakes of the true reality of God's Chachma, and then he's eternally in a state of he's in an eternal state of bliss, which is the Chai Olam Haba. Tzadikim Yoshim Rafasim Rafasim Nenim Yisev Hashchina. That's the purpose. God created man so that he could every creature that God created, he created so that it can have its ultimate state. He created an animal. He created an environment for that animal, so the animal can live in its ultimate way. Man is different. Man is the Hakol Tzofi V'Rashus Nesuna. Man, it depends upon his Rashus. It's God's will that he himself should be the source of his own perfection, of his own happiness. Man is the only creature that's the source of his own happiness. But what is the whole system with the system of reality and the system of pleasure seeking? It's all for one purpose, that he should be able to overcome the pleasure-seeking drives and be able to see what the world of reality and Chochmah is, and then he reaches his perfected. That's the ultimate goal, because every creature, the goal of every creature is to reach perfection. And that's the goal of man. That's why God created man, so he can reach that state. That's the end of the Maimah. Vakol Mesukum Mesuda. Beautiful Maimah. In the Rambam over here. The Rambam, we didn't take up this point. The Rambam says that ubetuv olam nadan, that the world is judged with good. You see? So the Rambam says, like, what does it mean the world is judged with good? We really didn't take up that memo. We sort of skipped it. Because it's not that we went into the essence of Tazayin. But now if you take a look, he says like this. He says, he says the din that God has with man, and this is a part of the whole picture, because you're dealing with the whole picture. First I left it out because I didn't see what it has to do with the whole system, so I wanted to wait till we developed our ideas, and then many times you see something doesn't fit in, so you let it go and you develop the ideas and then you see how it fits in. Now after this whole, after Tezayin, actually Tezayin really is not just a matter of Musa. It's really philosophy. Because after you get finished with the Musa of how a person should live, it shows you the end is Hakol Mesukum Mesuda. It explains the whole system of why God created man. And it eventuates in a philosophical, metaphysical comprehension. And one of the ideas that are important in that context is the concept of Ubetuv Ha'olam Nagan, that the world is judged with good. And the Rambam says like this. He says, "V'omar shedin Hashem yisbarachem b'nei Adam omnam hu b'chesed u'b'tov." He said the din that God deals with man is with chesed, with kindness, and with goodness. Lo kifi hadin haroy aleihem, not according to the din that they really deserve. K'moshe bi'er yisbarach midracha v'omar erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes. I think the Rambam says the Maariv, and that's the essence of the Yidun Midos. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emes. Notes a chesed la'loftim is basically it's 13 divisions, but the basic the major premise is really the concept of chesed, God's chesed. So that's the major idea, major concept. But the question is like this, we have to understand it. What does it mean? It means that God doesn't, it's not according to the way they deserve. I mean, it's not according to the way they deserve, so it's not good either. I mean, what does it mean? What does it mean to say it's not according to the way they deserve, but it's according to chesed? Then it's not justice, and how can we say God is just? If he's either God is just, or else God is giving chesed. Can't be both. The court can't be just and merciful. If it's just, then it's not merciful. If it's merciful, then it's not just. But we say with in relation to God that both are true, that he's just and he's merciful. How is it possible that both should be true? Mercy would seem to be, look, justice demands this is what you deserve, but I will have mercy on you and I won't give you what you deserve. But then it's not justice anymore, it's mercy. But God is both. How is it possible? What's the answer? The answer is, when the Rambam mentions that he says that God doesn't deal with man according to the way man deserves, what it means is according to the way he deserves from a human perspective. According to the way we would judge fairness. If we would be the judge of what we should receive, then we would never give ourselves what God gives us. It's an amazing concept. Because most people feel exactly the opposite. They feel exactly the opposite. That's because they have no knowledge. They have no chachma. That was Yid Gimel Midos that Moshe Rabbeinu received with Mari HaNavua. When Moshe Rabbeinu understood the ways of God, he said, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun erach apayim rav chesed v'emes. What does it mean? It means to say that our ideas of justice, if you would be able to judge yourself, and give yourself what you deserve, you would be more vicious towards yourself than real justice demands. You wouldn't, as you imagine, give yourself greater, more than God gives you. On the contrary, your idea of justice is a man's idea of justice is a limited idea, because he only sees himself from the perspective of a created being. So I look at myself, I look at others, they're all created beings, and I meter out justice according to that framework. But God's chesed is a different kind of chesed. Why? Because God's chesed is the chesed of the Creator. See, the only one that has the real view. What does justice mean? Justice means how things really should be. We only see on one plane. We see as created beings. That's all we can see. The only one that can see the total picture of what reality is and what our place in reality is God. Because God is the Creator. So God's justice is the real justice. He's just. He deals with men as their creator. And the person who understands that idea, when Moshe Rabbeinu was able to understand deeper, see deeper into the idea of God as the creator, he saw that God as the creator is, as the creator, he gives man unlimited chesed. If man would be able to see how God perceives him as the creator, he would see that he would, what his expression would be is Hashem Hashem kel rachum lachan and erach apayim rav chesed v'emes. That's what he'd be able to see. But he can't perceive from that perspective because he doesn't have any knowledge of God. It requires a knowledge of God. But the chesed Hashem, the chesed Hashem, the person thinks into it, is obvious all around. And the greatest chesed is matan Torah. That's the greatest chesed. That God gave man a system through which he can study, learn, understand, improve his life, and have a beneficial life. How can you compare the life of a person who's involved in Torah and ideas and thought and perfection to the life of an individual who's misguided, who has no way of ever understanding himself, his purpose in life, his way of life? I mean, it's an impossibility. He's just for Satan, he has to eventually wind up doing in activities which are completely erroneous, faulty, harmful. I mean, there's no way for him to escape. So the greatest chesed Hashem, he gave us a system which we can understand with our own minds, and we can see the benefit of the system. It's true what Leslie Younger mentioned. I mean, there is a case of Tzadik Varola, but on the whole, that's not the case. That's not the rule. That's not the general rule. The person has to live according to the general rule. That's what the Rambam says. The reason why if we feel otherwise, it's because we don't see the reality. We don't see the reality. We're short-sighted, and we only see. We can't get out of the narcissistic barrier. It's two steps. First, to remove ourselves from the narcissistic barrier, and if you do that, and you recognize the world, and you recognize the world of reality, and you live according to chachma, then a person wouldn't have any complaints. That's really what there's old area in the Mora that deals with that. How a happy person, a perfected person, lives in spite of tragedies, in spite of difficulties. The Rambam explains it all depends upon the level of the individual. And as I mentioned before, Chazal, many of them had physical impediments, difficulties, but it didn't disturb the perfection of their inner their inner peace, their inner tranquility, which was based upon an inner perception, an inner view. You see? And it is true, there's an occasionally in a situation we can't understand, but that you can't throw away the general rule and a general expression of Chesed Hashem. I mean, we're approaching the Pesach by the Seder. Pesach by the Seder. What's the whole concept of the Seder? And the Chilo of Devar Azari Hayavaseinu Vachshav Kevona Makom Lavadaso. And then in the end it says the Chayav Koladam Liras Es Atzmo Ki Ilu Hu Yatsa Mitzrayim Chilo Es Avaseinu Golem Mitzrayim. Not just our forefathers. Ela Afosanu. What does it mean Afosanu? How did God redeem us? The answer is God's purpose in giving the Torah and taking us out of bondage, out of Mitzrayim, and redeeming us. Not freeing us, redeeming us. Freedom means you just let a person do what he wants. Redemption means that you take him out of a bad situation and you place him in a good one. The difference between redemption and freedom. That's why we say, Geula, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael. We don't say that God is the one who gives Yisrael Cheres. Now, the Redeemer. Redeemer means the person who frees somebody really doesn't care for that person that much. Takes him out of a bad state and says, go ahead, go on your own. A Redeemer is one who takes him out of the bad state and is concerned with him and places him in a true beneficial state. That's the goal of Yisrael. So that's why it says, after that, you say, L'fichach anachnu chayovim lahodos ulahalel, l'shabeach ulafoer. Once a person recognizes the chesed Hashem, that God's purpose in Matan Torah was not just for that generation. Kol gadol v'lo yosef. A great voice that will never occur again. That's what Chazal say. V'lo yosef, v'lo yosef. Never happen again. Once God broke the laws of his whole system of nature in order to do a chesed for Klal Yisrael, for man, that he should be able to see the true ideas. But not just for one generation. It was done in a way that it would be a proof for succeeding generations. It'll never cease. And we today are the heirs of this great system. When a person realizes that, when a person says howl on the night of Pesach, there should be a realization. I mean, just to say how, this is a rational system. A person has to be rational. But rational doesn't mean he's devoid of emotion. It's not true. It's a false notion. It's a false idea. It means he's devoid of emotion when the emotion is reckless and works on its own. But he's not devoid of emotion that's in the proper framework, because he has emotion. And the whole Sefer of Tehillim, as I mentioned before, is that a person who's perfected is a whole, as a unit. And once he's perfected as a unit, and his chachma sees what the truth is, his emotions have to follow. Has to be kol neshama ta'alka. Has to be a natural result. Hallel has to be said with feeling. If there's no feeling in Hallel, a person just reciting a mitzvah's kriya, Hallel, there's no mitzvah involved. It's nothing. Hallel has to be a recognition. The whole purpose of the Seder is to bring a person to recognition. A person should feel a happiness. And an appreciation. Then he's a totality. Then he's not in conflict. His emotions, on the contrary, are following his intellect, following his chokhmah, and he gives natural expression to them. That's the essence of the mitzvah. That's really the purpose of the whole mitzvah, to reach a perfected state. But Yad just recognizes a person. Only a few people could be in that state. David HaMelech could always be in that state. Hashem Chakartani L'Teva means he always is in that state. But the most of us can't be that way. So that's why Yad has set up certain times where a person should be able to reach that state at a certain time, night of Pesach. I mean, you have Moadim, you have Shabbosos, you have different states, different times where a person could at least reach that state at that moment temporarily. That's also perfection. It's also a tremendous level. Mm-hmm. That's why we have to avail ourselves of this. There should be a simcha. There should be really a simcha. The simcha sachag. I mean, simcha samoi. What's the idea? Simcha means happy. Means a person feels happy. His emotions are happy. He's happy emotionally. But it's not simply a crazy emotion or rampant emotion. It means his emotions are in line with the perception and the view that he sees of reality. The natural result. He's a total being, a total person. That's the mitzvah of simcha sachag. Okay, second.